June 14, 2020. Wellsville Full Gospel. Interim Pastor, Tom Brazell. Sermon title, What is the Result of the Holy Spirit?
We're going to have it 2 weeks from today, right here on the lawn, weather permitting. We don't want to get into preparing food and everything during this time, so bring something to eat, stop at Subway, or get a sandwich or whatever. And what we're going to do is we're going to finish our service, and then we're going to eat, and then maybe take 15 or 20 minutes to do that. We're going to get into the meeting, so we're not just going to have a lot of, we're not going to like wait like an hour to get on it. So we can just move through, and we'll have that annual business meeting a little late this year. This sound system that we've been using has been not a gift to us, but has been loaned to us by Jason Marson. And he's been very, very generous. He wouldn't take any money for it or anything to rent it. He just said, go ahead and use it. But he is in a place where, because restrictions are lifting, he needs it again. So we need to do something to have some sort of a portable system that we can use for things like this. And anyhow, I foresee us taking it to the streets anyhow, so we're going to need a sound system. So the board has budgeted $1,500. I don't think we're going to spend that much, but we've budgeted $1,500 that we can buy some kind of a portable sound system that will work in something like this. Now, what we would like to do is we'd like to give you the opportunity, should you desire, to participate in this little project. So next Sunday, we're going to have a special offering for the sound system. We're going to buy it no matter what, but it would be nice if we could all just say, you know, I'm in on that. So if you feel led to do it, great. If you don't, that's fine too. But we are going to be receiving that offering, and we're going to take care of that. I think this is the last week. So we got to have something by next Sunday. So if you see Jason, give him a high five. Tell him thank you for being so kind to us. And just so you know, we have found a way to bless him. I won't get into the details of that, but we found a way to bless him back. Not because he asked for it, but because he blessed us and we wanted to make sure he knew we appreciated this. Okay, another thing that's kind of important, we have received, there was nothing for a long time anybody interested, apparently, of coming here. But then this, just over the last few weeks, we got three. And so the pulpit committee met this past week, and we reviewed them, and we decided that we couldn't really move forward on any of them until we had more information. So I am going to be getting more information. We came up with the things that we are concerned about, or we just need more. We need to know more, and so we're going to get that information, and then hopefully in a very short time we'll be able to make some recommendation to the board for their decision on how to proceed, if at all. So ultimately it goes to the board, but we're there to make our recommendation. So continue to pray that there is no such thing as a perfect pastor. I know I have the illusion of that, I know, but I'm sure you've all noticed that about me. So there is no perfect person. And there's, you know, we can't start saying, well, you know, I don't like the way, you know, he's got a funny beard, or none of our guys got funny beards, by the way, but, you know, we need to hear from God. Who is he sending to us? That's what we need to hear. And so be praying that we would know that, and we could, and that, you know, that on the pulpit committee and the board, that they would be, that they would know that as well. And then finally, whenever that day comes when this person is presented to the congregation, there'd be a witness among us that this is the choice of the Lord, not just the choice of the majority or the two-thirds of, you know, there's nothing better than to have a 100% yay and amen to what God. So that's what I'm praying for and hoping for, that we would have that. So let's just be in prayer about that. We're not going to be doing any live Facebook videos anymore. So if anybody has really liked those, sorry. We're not doing it. It's a lot of work to put those out. And what we're going to do is, like we've always done, if you want to rehear a message or something, all you got to do is go to our website, the media area, and you can hear the message. But we're not going to be doing the visuals. And one final thing, and you know, sorry about so many announcements, but there is a certain amount of logistics that are that take place in setting up and taking down. And up till now, Devin has been the one who's been doing most of that. If you would like to help him, would you make that known to him, and maybe he could put a schedule out or something where you could help him set up or take down or both. Okay, so we don't want all that to just go on him. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a guest this morning. Wasn't expecting. Actually, when I saw him, I realized that I should have been expecting him, but it totally slipped my mind that he was coming. His name is Paul Io, and he is from the Ivory Coast. And he's a ministry there. He's a minister of the gospel from West Africa. And I thought it'd be real good if he could just come and bring us a greeting from Africa. My brother, benvenidos. Pastor Paul Io.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's my first time to be here. It's my pleasure to meet your pastor. I hear that he was a minister at Elim Bible Institute. I was there more than 25 years ago. I meet the coastal deer, and he visited me in Ivory Coast. And recently, my country went through, in 2010, some through difficulties. What is happening here happened years ago in Africa. People have different agenda. My president was a born-again Christian, and he was overthrown by you know, UN and France. And because I was an advisor to him, I have to leave the country. They put him in jail in Europe for 10 years. By the grace of God, last week, after 10 years of trial, they keep him there for nothing. They said that he's not guilty. He did nothing wrong. But they keep him in jail even if he's not guilty. Last week, they decided to release him now. So God willing, after 10 years in your country, I may go back to my country next year. And I learn to be silent. I learn to pray. I learn to get closer to God. And many times I want to tell you, when God bring us to the desert place, it's not a place of chastisement. It's a place of love. God just wants us to get closer to Him. He wants to speak to our heart. And He wants to show us new vine. So, pray for Ivory Coast. It's a French-speaking country, and I thank your pastor because he was in Congo, and I believe that you'll be a key person in my life because not many people go to French countries. Most of the speakers go to English part, and the French-speaking are put aside. And when you look around, the French-speaking country are late to the things of God. In the knowledge. Well, we know God, we worship Him, we dance a lot. but we need your knowledge. You know God deeply. In America, each believer could be a preacher because you are so much fed. You know so much. Thank you for praying for Ivory Coast. God bless you.
I did not realize, because we had just met this morning, that it's been 10 years since he's been back home. So that's very, very exciting, and it's exciting that things are changing there. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I have the best view right now. Beautiful faces on the back, in the, with a backdrop of God's beautiful creation. I really like meeting out here. It just gives me such a nice appreciation for how good God has been to us. And we've been looking, and we're going to continue for at least a few more weeks, looking at the Holy Spirit. And what my aim has been is to lay a good foundation as to who the Holy Spirit is and so on and how He functions, because I'm believing that He's going to visit us. We are going to make time. We're going to be next week. I think we're going to be shifting gears, and we're going to be moving into the supernatural aspects of the Holy Spirit, how he moves in the church, how he moves in us, what those gifts are, how they're used. And we're going to believe God to pour out his Spirit upon us afresh. Some of us need to be refilled. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and all that, but come on, be honest. You could use a little topping off. And then there's those who maybe never have, and maybe you're not even convinced about that. So we're going to have to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about that. But this week, I would like to talk to you about a preparation of our heart for him, if that's a good way to put it. Maybe a better way to say it is, I want to look at what is the result of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as we've already discussed, the Holy Spirit abides in us as Christians. We are the temples of the Holy Ghost. He comes and he's with us right now. He came to stay. He didn't come and go. So there's that Holy Spirit presence in our lives. The baptism of the Holy Spirit really reflects the overflow of that presence. But he's in us. And so when he is in us, when we're walking with the Lord, what is the result of that? And why is that necessary? And so we're going to look at Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25. None of this is an in-depth study. All of this is really just maybe scratching the surface of things that could be said. But I think it's important to see this, and it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, but it speaks about the fruit of the Spirit in a very special context. And I believe last year there was a whole series on the fruit of the Spirit. I think I actually did one of those sessions on Sunday morning. My intention is not to redo that, but to put this all in context of our life, our serving God, our being filled with the Spirit, our being able to be trusted with the responsibility of the anointing of God and what all that means. And so this is all part of that pathway to where I believe God wants us to go in his blessing of us. So in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, and don't fear, because we're not going to try to really tear this apart, it's really more of an overview this morning, but I think a valuable one. Paul says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." That's a great thing to underline in your Bible and to think about that and to meditate that. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. There's a pretty full list there. But, anyway, I lost my place. And the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom. So these works of the flesh have a very negative impact on us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So these verses really, really describe something that we are all familiar with, that there is a struggle inside of us, and that is to fulfill the fleshly lusts or desires, or the spirits. And this is not something that is given to backslidden people. This is something that's always there. The flesh wants to pull us one way. The Spirit wants to lead us another way. And we're told here that if we would walk in the Spirit, we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I love that. that sometimes they say, well, how do I get out of this mess that I'm in? Well, if we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to do that. And the Holy Spirit will give us ways to navigate through that. But for here, suffice it to say that the key to living the kind of life God wants us to live is living a Spirit-led life. That's what it's saying to us, as opposed to a life that is dictated by the lusts of our flesh, our desires of our flesh. Maybe we don't like the word lust. Maybe that's too. Maybe it has meanings that you don't want to ascribe to. That's fine. It's the desires of the flesh, the things that the flesh wants that are contrary to the things that God wants. And this word flesh is the one in the Greek. It's really the most common use. There's a couple other that are translated flesh, but this is the one that is most commonly used. It just means the human nature with all of its frailties. And if we try to overcome them in our own strength, it doesn't work very well. I mean, I have tried to do things in my own strength. And you know, sometimes you do something or something comes out of your mouth or a thought comes into your head that you entertain a little bit too long or something, and you say, I got to stop that. I got to stop that. And so you kind of set yourself up and say, I'm not going to do that again. Well, anybody have any victory in that? It takes like an hour, and all of a sudden you find out that you tripped in it again. In Romans chapter 7, Paul describes this struggle. And he says like this, Romans 7, 15 through 19, he says, for what I'm doing, I don't understand. Has anybody ever felt that way? Why am I doing this? Why does that come out of me? What I am doing, I do not understand, for what I will to do, that I do not practice. He said, I want to do something, but I find that I don't do it. He's bewildered. He's perplexed in his own mind. If then he says, I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. This is a frustrated guy right here. I'm not asking for hands, but I'm going to put mine up. Has anybody ever lived in this place? And I have. It's like, what is my problem? I don't want to do that. I don't want to live like that. But I do it. And then I spend the cycle of repentance and coming back and getting forgiven and getting a clear conscience, only to find myself right back there again for the same thing. Continuing on, he says, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. So this is the war. This is the war that Galatians is talking about. And in Galatians, it gives us a description of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And the only way to win that battle, the only way, is to walk in the Spirit, to yield to the Spirit, to receive his overcoming grace as necessary. Now, oftentimes people will say something like, in a sentence, they'll say body, soul, and spirit. I don't know if you ever heard people say it like that. Actually, that's the wrong order completely. It's not body, soul, and spirit at all. It's spirit, soul, and body. It's the Spirit that's to be in control, which affects our soul, which is our mind, our will, our intellect, and guess what? The body follows along with the Spirit and the soul. But if we let the body dictate, now all of a sudden the body is taking us places and we're saying, I don't want to go there. But because we're not putting the Spirit in control of our lives, which then affects the soul, which then affects the body, we find ourselves tripped up. Okay, so God wants his church to be led by the Spirit. And that means he wants us to be led in spiritual gifts and signs and wonders and miracles and all those things. He wants us to be led in that. We'll talk about that later. But he wants us to be led just in our daily life, in our daily living. And sometimes it would do us well, I think, especially if it's an area that we know is our weakness and we know we've had troubles before if we find ourselves going in that direction, that we stop ourselves, and that's a moment to yield to God. It's amazing what happens if we would just stop and yield to God. Say, I can't overcome. Yes, you can. You can stop that. You don't have to. You just yield. You say, Father, I yield to you right now in Jesus' name. And you let the Holy Spirit, and guess what? You get past that. You get past that momentary flesh pull, and you find the power of the Holy Spirit moving in your life. And instead of the works of the flesh, you begin to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, which is really a great thing. So it tells us about the works of the flesh, and I don't want to go through that list again. It's just, I don't want to do it. If you're doing a work of the flesh, you know it, okay? You know if you are, okay? I don't have to say, well, what I'm doing isn't in that list. I guess I'm off the hook. No, it says, and the like. So you know. And, you know, we don't always know when we're right, but we always know when we're wrong. It's just something that it just tells us, you know, you were wrong in that. And so, but Paul ends that and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. That but, it's a, maybe underline that or circle that in your Bible, but. Here's the works of the flesh, but God. I love the but gods in the Bible. But God. You know, this is happening and it's bad, but God. So that's what he's saying right here. You got all these things going on. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and I'm going to tell you, it's different. The fruit of the flesh is one thing. The fruit of the Spirit is like a polar opposite. And each fruit comes from a root. Okay, the fruit comes, you know, if you look at a tree and it's bearing fruit, well, you got to trace that down, and eventually you find out it's the root that it comes from. So Galatians says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit, or wars, is another word. It's translated that sometimes. For the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. Now, when he says the things you wish, he's not talking about the spirit man. He's talking about the flesh. You know, that you got this tendency to do something. It's on you now. And that's warring against the Spirit, which is saying, no, that's not what I have. That's not part of the fruit of the Spirit at all. I have something better and something different for you. And so the flesh and the Spirit are not compatible. You know, when Jesus came into our life, he did not come to fit in. He came to take over. He wants to change things. He doesn't want the old stuff. The old man has passed away. Behold, all things are new. He's looking for the new creation to be walking this earth. And that means that in some ways we have to be, I think we have to be, without being self-condemning, we have to be a little ruthless on ourselves. What I mean by that is sometimes we cut ourselves a pass, but if we see somebody else doing the same thing, we'll judge them. It's interesting how we do that. Matter of fact, usually what we see in somebody else that really bugs us is often the very thing that we ourselves struggle with. But that doesn't have to be that way. But sometimes it is that way. And so what we have to do is we just have to be a little ruthless on ourselves instead of saying, well, you know, I'm under grace, and, you know, God understands. It's the way I was raised, and, you know, it's this, and, well, it's that. And you know what? God has an answer for all of this and all of that if we will bring it to him, if we will let him know that we are in our spirit man, we know what to do, but the body is struggling. There's a war. We need to turn to him and find that he is going to take us into victory. Before we can really, and this is why I want to be here now, before we can really talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all of that that goes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the church and the Great Commission to reach the entire world with the gospel, before we can even go there, we really need to talk about what's in here. Do we have the, are we prepared for the anointing of God? Are we the kind of person that the Holy Spirit will feel safe, anointing, and empowering? Or would a lack of character on our part, or something in us, in the flesh inside of us, is there something in us that is dominating that would make us less than trustworthy, less than faithful to what God wants to do with us. So that's why I believe this is important. Matthew 7:17, Jesus said, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So when we look at something and we see that it's not good fruit, it doesn't mean that we're the bad tree and there's nothing good. And that's, I don't believe it means that, but it does mean that there's something in us that is yet to be dealt with by God. And he wants to. He doesn't want to thump us. He doesn't want to destroy us. He doesn't want to crush us. He wants to lead us into victory. He wants to lead us into that place where we are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we aren't called to produce fruit. Okay? That's not our call. We're not supposed to produce fruit. We're supposed to bear fruit. Okay? Producing is, that's relying on ourselves again. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make this happen, and that ends in frustration. Sooner or later, it does. Normally, sooner. Or I'm going to. It's not that. It's just the fruit of the Spirit is a naturally supernatural result of having the Holy Spirit within us and giving Him His way. It's just natural. It's like not something to say. It might be true. We say, well, I need to be more loving. Okay, that may be true. But really, when you allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within you in the way He wants to and have His way with you, what you will find is that you are more loving. Not because you determined you needed to be, as much as because the Holy Spirit within you is causing you to be that way. So it's not producing anything, it's bearing something. Just like the tree that bears the apple that we pick in the fall, that apple or that twig that has that apple isn't struggling to try to, it's just abiding in the rest of the tree. And so certain fruit comes out. This should take a little bit of pressure off of us. To go through this list. We're going to go quickly through the list of the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to go through it and look at it very quickly, but the truth of the matter is that could really disappoint us. You might say, wow, there's all these. I only did good on three of them, you know. So I got a F, you know. I'm an F in the fruit category. No, you know, what we just need to do is you say, okay, well, I need to yield these areas of my life to Him. And my own experience, which is an experience in process, it's not finished, it's not over, but my own experience has been that as I, let me back up just a little bit, things sometimes come out when you least expect them in our lives. Like whenever we're under control, you know, everything's good, even if they're a little irritated about something, we're under control and we can put on a good front. But then every once in a while something happens. I call them pop quizzes. You know, something happens. You weren't ready for it. It bothered you. And you say something or you do something. And out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. And so when that happens, it's good to say, whoa, forgive me, Lord. It's good to say that. And we need to, because we need to be forgiven. But we need to go another step and say, obviously, there's an area in me that I need to yield to you a little bit more. And so I need you to help me to yield that area to you so that the next time it happens, you don't go there. You don't do that. Not because you have a law, because against these there is no law. It's not because you have a law that says, don't you do that. It's because something in you no longer responds that way. That's the fruit of the Spirit, that we respond to the situations around us and in us in a way that pleases God, not because we have set our heart to, not because we have determined that in our own strength we're going to do it, but because we've simply yielded those areas to the Lord, and now the same things that used to really drive us crazy and make us do things or say things or whatever, we don't do that anymore because there's been a change in us. We are bearing fruit. We're not producing fruit. John 15:4-5, Jesus gave this tremendous teaching, which really deserves its own Sunday. But John 15:4-5 says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He's telling us straight out, you are not going to be fruitful in your own strength. You're not going to. I am the vine. Jesus says, let me give it to you straight. Let me point it out just the way this is. I'm the vine. You're the branches. So we need to understand that. And he says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And he ends this verse by saying, for without me, you can do nothing. Wow. That's worthy of some meditation on our part. Apart from him, we can do nothing. I wonder how much we try to do apart from him. But if we are walking in the flesh, we will not bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there's another place, and I don't want to overdo this. I'm in danger of that right now. But I just want to give one other illustration of this conflict that is going on in people. James chapter 3 says this. He says in 3:14 and following, he says, but if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For envy and self-seeking exist. Confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So again, we see the two. We see the wisdom. He calls it the wisdom of this earth. It's the wisdom that flows out of our human nature. Of course, it can be agitated and excited by the devil, but it's basically what's in our human nature. They're just gonna do it. That he says where that is. He says where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil work are there. That's a very powerful statement. We don't have time to explore that, but it's a very powerful statement. Every evil thing are there. You might want to just kind of put that in the context of our country right now and how we got there. Wisdom from beneath, not the wisdom of God. But it says, but the wisdom of God is from above. It's pure and it's peaceable and it's gentle and it's willing to yield and full of mercy and good fruits. And this verse I fall to myself personally as a touchstone for me when I'm struggling with something and I want to do something. And sometimes I just want to do something. You know what I'm saying? I just want to, all right, I'm going to deal with this. I remember this verse and I ask myself, is it peaceable? Is it pure? Is it without partiality? Is it gentle? Is it willing to yield? Or am I just dug in? Right? Because these are the things that says this is it without hypocrisy? Do I have the same standard for this one as that one? Or do I get really upset with this one for doing something and give this one a pass for doing exactly the same thing? Hypocrisy. Is that in there? And so I have to go through my little list sometimes and just take a self-assessment and decide whether or not what I want to do, is it from above or is it from my own human nature that maybe is all excited by the devil who would like me to lash out. And he says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wonderful verse. So here again we see the difference. Okay, I'm hoping that I've made that point adequately, that there are basically two things. I don't believe that there are two, that we are a redeemed people, and I don't have time even to go into this whole teaching. Maybe one of these days we will, but we are a redeemed, we're a new creation right here. That's who we are. I'm not, the old nature is not something that's in the area of the Spirit at all. It's in the area of the flesh. Where we live here, we have attained what we would consider to be wisdom or knowledge or the how to do things. So much of that we got from the people, our parents or our grandparents or whoever were in our lives, and we watched them and we saw them do things and handle things a certain way, and they became part of how we do them, for good or for bad. They become part of how we do them. You know, this is how this is how we do it in my family, you know, that sort of thing. And so we're going to be pulled that way. And there is a process. And we're going to end with talking about this process, but just let me throw it out there right now. Fruit does not appear in a day. Fruit has a growing season. Okay, so take courage. don't get. But there is this war. Okay, and every one of us has it going on. And if you don't know you have it, let's talk, because maybe you're missing. Maybe you're missing something. Until we lay this body down, none of this bad stuff is going with us when we're out of here. It's not going. It is not part of the spirit man. It is not going. When we go, we leave it behind. But as long as we're here, we're going to have to deal with the flesh. And sometimes, I'm sad to say, I've been around a long time, been a Pentecostal since the day I was saved. And I got to say, some people move in the Spirit in such a beautiful, clean, pure way. And then there's some others who maybe not so much. So we're going to have to talk about that. But we want under everything we do, we want to have this fruit of the Spirit that is the character of God in us before we start moving in the power of God. Okay, so I already said we cannot produce fruit. We yield to the Holy Spirit, and if we're going to handle the anointing and the power that comes from the Holy Spirit, we need to have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we're going to mention these. This is not a study. We're going to just kind of go through them. But the first fruit of the Spirit is, let me just read that verse, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And against these, there's no law. So the first one is love. And now I think you probably all know there's four New Testament words in Greek that we translate love in English. Okay, the love here is talking about is agape love. Okay, we can love. There's filio, there's eros, and there's storge, and these are different. These are different. Brotherly love, or romantic love, or the kind of love a parent has for a child. Those are love. There's love there. But this agape love is the God kind of love. It's the kind of love that we will never experience or give apart from God. It is the kind, you know, it's the kind of love that demands nothing in return. It's just, I just do it. You know, it's just, I love you. And it doesn't matter that you don't love me. It doesn't matter that you've hurt me. None of that matters, because I love you. But all these bad things happen. Nevertheless, I love you. See, that's something in God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, very important chapter, the whole thing speaks about love, and we use it at weddings and so on, okay? And that's good. But that's not what it's there for. It has nothing to do with getting married. It has to do, the 1 Corinthians 13 is, amazingly enough, between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. That's why we call it 1 Corinthians 13. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. And he goes on, he talks about all the spiritual gifts that we're going to look into, words of knowledge, wisdom, miracles, faith, all those things. So all that is in 1 Corinthians 12. And it goes in to talk about how we're knit together as the body of Christ. It's all in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 14 mostly deals with tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Right between the listing of the gifts of the Spirit and the definition of the body of Christ and what it is and how it functions in the gifts of the Spirit, right between those two teachings, he chose to put a chapter on love. And he says this, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and I have not love, have not agape, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And it goes on, love is patient and kind and so on. We're not going to study that chapter. But that's, he says, it doesn't matter what we do if we're operating on some level of love that's lesser than the God level of love that he wants us to have. It's what it says. I just read what it says. I have not love, I have not agape, I've become just noise, clanging cymbals. I might have prophecy, understand mysteries. I might have knowledge and have faith that I could remove mountains. But really, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans unless the love of God is in us. And so he wants us to move in that. It's one of the first gifts. Some people say that it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And love is the fruit, and all the other things are aspects of that love. However you want to look at it, doesn't matter to me. What I would say is that love is the number one thing that's mentioned there. And then it says the second one is joy. And this joy is really an attitude of life, okay? It's funny. The other day, I had this, I've been redoing my house, and my house is all done. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's all done. Got all the trim work done and everything. And I had this stash of trim work that I wasn't using. And a friend of mine who's actually Eric Scott, who preached here a few months ago, I called him up and said, "Would you like this? Because I can't take it back." And there was quite a bit of it. "Would you like it?" He does contracting on the side. He says, "Absolutely." So I was taking it over to him the other day, and I checked the weather app. 0% chance of rain. So I put all this really nice, really expensive corner molding, shoe molding, quarter round, all this, and I put it on top of the car. And I strapped it in, and I drove down the road. And when I was about halfway there, where it was too late to turn back, it poured like, I fussed. I failed the fruit test. I honestly said this. I said, "Really, God? You know, really? I've got probably $200 worth of material on my roof that can't get wet, and it's pouring. I got my windshield wipers at high, 0% chance of rain. Western New York." I think God chuckled a little bit. And after I griped a little bit, I wasn't demonstrating joy because things weren't going my way. It's easy to be joyful when things are going your way. It's not as easy when they're not. And I just had that lesson that I have to grow in this area of joy. And I failed, okay? Joy is an attitude of life. It doesn't depend on your circumstances. It does not. Joy is not the same as happiness. I want to be... God wants you to be happy. Really? He wants us to be joyful. But I'm not sure about the happy part. We'd have to really look at that to see if that's true. But I know he wants us to be full of joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so he wants us. And Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:8, he says, "Having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Now, he wrote this to the Jews who were dispersed. They were chased away, and now they were all over the place. And so he was writing to them, the Christian Jews. He was writing to them. He calls them the dispersion. 1 Peter 1:1, the epistle, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. And so they had plenty of reason to probably gripe and complain. And things weren't going their way. This wasn't what they would choose. Nobody here lives in a world where you get everything you want. So if we are just looking for happiness, we're like this, and we're like this, and we're like this, and we're like this. It all depends on circumstances. We're victims of circumstance. But if we have the fruit of the Spirit of joy within us, it's like, yeah, this is not a great time, but God's got this. I am so thankful. I am full of joy because whatever the outcome of this is, I know it's good. He promises all things work together for good. If I love him, and I do, and he's making me like him, so I can walk in joy. Now, I can't do that in my own strength. I don't do that in my own strength. But when I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to work in me, then that fruit can come out. And I failed on that one. So in next time, amen, I got another shot at this. I'm sure something's coming along that I'm not going to like. I'm absolutely sure of that. And And as I have yielded freshly, this particular area, I actually expect the test sooner rather than later. But as I'm yielding this area specifically to the Lord because I saw a weakness there. I mean, I could explain it away. I could say, well, you know, y'all know how you self-justify things. I don't have to give you any ideas on that. You know how to do it, and I could do that. But the truth of the matter is, I wasn't demonstrating the joy of the Lord. I wasn't. And was it a horrible sin? No. I yelled at God a little bit, but, you know, he forgave me and we're good. It wasn't a horrible sin. It wasn't one of those backsliding things. It was just, no, this area, I'm still looking to be happy rather than joyful. And I saw that. So I got work to do. God's got to, I need to yield that to me. So that's great. So these little things that crop up out of our lives, it's just a reflection of the flesh and the spirit warring against one another. And at that moment in time, the flesh took over, and it's time to put the flesh back in its place, yield back to the Holy Spirit, and believe God for a greater victory. That's what we do. Okay. Okay. It says this in Romans 14:17: the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is all about, joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay, peace. Jesus said, and there's a fruit of spirit of peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We talked about this a couple months ago when we were in the leading edge of this corona thing. I remember I spoke about it on this verse. But the peace, he wants us to be able to just, in the midst of difficulty, to be at peace. Now, I don't know how everyone reacted to these last few months. I really don't. But I do know this, and I'm really happy about this. Everybody I talked to from this church about it, they were saying, you know what, I'm not living in fear. I'm at peace. God's got this. It was everybody. So I was like, well, this is really good. So this peace thing is very important. And there's a lot of people that have not done well during this corona thing. They have not lived in peace. And so this is something that if we've been living in anxiety or fear or something, it's an area where we need to yield that to the Holy Spirit. She says, Lord, we yield that to you. This is not what you have for me. You don't want me to live like this. You want me to live in peace. And so the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Patience. This is also called long-suffering. And it's really has the idea of being patient when you're provoked. It's easy to be patient when you're not provoked. It's like if there was no provocation, we wouldn't need this fruit. But, you know, there's some people you just like to give them a shot. You know, it's just, you just would like to let them have it. And that's when I would have to say I'm better now than I used to be. There was a time that I just spoke my mind in a way that was not constructive, and I just explained it away as a prophetic anointing. You know, that's what I did. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I did. Totally gave myself a pass. But you know what? The Holy Spirit didn't give me a pass. He told me I need to be a little bit more patient with people, especially if I want them to be patient with me. God has been patient with us, and we're to reflect that with Him. Okay, what is the time here? I'm moving along, ending very, very soon. Okay, so Romans 2:4, do you despise the riches of the goodness, forbearance, and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? He's long suffering with us. He's good to us. While we're sinners, while we're wandering, while we're in rebellion, He's good to us. And if we're going to have the nature of God reflected from us when somebody provokes us and maybe gives us good reason to let them have it, we don't, because the divine nature within us has a different way of dealing with that. Kindness is a positive, accepting attitude towards others. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Wow, that's great. Just be kind. Are you kind to each other? I hope so. Forgive one another? I hope so. Not go and bring it out again and again and after the apology has been given and accepted, later on you throw it out again in another conversation. Remember what you did? You know, we have ways of doing those sorts of things. We're to be kind. Faithfulness. This is loyalty or trustworthiness. Jesus is referred to as the faithful witness. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Oh, faithful people. I know I've had people come to me in ministry and say, you know, I really would like to work with you and learn ministry, and I'm good to do that with anybody who really wants to, but I would usually find some not a very attractive thing for them to do. You know, like this one guy, he wanted to do that, and I said, okay, I'd love that. What do you do on 5:30 on Wednesday morning? He said, I sleep. I said, well, we have to get the garbage cans from the back of the building out to the curb, and I'd like you to do that. Would you do that for me, please? And you soon found out whether or not somebody had that level of faithfulness. Or they only want to be faithful when it's easy. Sometimes we are less than faithful. And God gives us little things to do that nobody sees it, and he wants to find out where we are at. Self-control. This is the final one, and boy, is it a big one. It characterizes Christian maturity. Acts 24:25, Paul is speaking to Felix, and it says he reasoned with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Oh, there's a message we're not hearing a lot in the church right now. Righteousness, self-control, and judgment. Well, if you do that, you're like you're Old Testament kind of dude, you know. But now Paul was very much New Testament, and he thought these things were very, very important. So self-control. Okay, just a final note or two on the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit trees normally don't bear fruit the first year you plant them. So be patient with new Christians. They're gonna do things and say things and some things might even make us cringe a little bit. Why? Because they're just a new plant, and it takes time for fruit to grow. There's a growing season for fruit. You know, fruit can be visible but not ready to eat, not ripe. You can see it's there, but you can't quite pick it yet. So be patient with yourself. You know, maybe there is a growing season, and none of us have mastered all of these 9 fruit of the Spirit. We're on the way. We're moving. We're growing. We're yielding. We're getting victory to victory. But the struggle still remains on each one of these. On the other hand, if there is no fruit that's growing and you're just not growing, maybe it's a good time to reflect on your environment. Good soil, in a good church, good nutrients, the Bible, good people speaking into your life, good water. You know, are you receiving a fresh douse of the Holy Spirit in your lives? It could be if you really see there's no victory and you're just not moving forward, it could be that your tree needs a little tending to. And I would recommend that you don't settle for less than what God has for you. So as we prepare for the Holy Spirit to move among us, we need to set our hearts to abide in him, to yield to him, and to resist the carnality that'll just flow out of our lives, left to ourselves. Amen? Let's stand together. And I just thank you so much for being patient with me. Yes, thank you for that. Not sure how long I talked other than it was too long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful for the goodness of God that we sang about this morning. And your word says, we referenced it, that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to see the areas that need growth, not so we can self-condemn, but Lord, that we could yield that to you. And we could find ourselves just naturally becoming victorious in areas where at one time, maybe not so much. Lord, continue to prepare us as a church for what it is you want to do among us. I have every conviction in my heart that you are poised and ready to do great things among us, inexplicable things, things that will make us scratch our head and say, wow. But Lord, right now you're preparing our hearts. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you, we yield ourselves to you, we surrender ourselves to you. Even as that song said, we just surrender, our lives lay down, we surrender all, and we give you everything so that we could be the people that you could anoint with power, that we could go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Lord, that we could take and do greater things than our Lord because he's at the Father and we are here. We want to be prepared for that. So help us, Lord. Take us there. And we thank you for it with great expectations. Not that you're going to do something in our church only, but that you're going to do something and you're going to use each one of us in doing it. And we thank you for it, Lord. Bless your people, Lord, as they go. May they go in love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and patience. All those things. May they go and be victorious this week because of the abiding presence of your Spirit within us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. You can hang around and fellowship as long as you want. We won't be locking the door for a while. Thank you.